Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace.
And I'm Jaden.
And this episode is a special episode focusing on upcoming comic book movies and TV shows. So Jaden's going to pretty much take the wheel here.
Yeah. I know who I am! I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude!
Alright, Jaden, so you want to talk about movies that are coming up? The comic book slate?
Well, we have, on this article at least, we have 63 upcoming comic book movies, and they're going to go in order from movies that are closest to release to movies that either haven't been, release date hasn't been announced, or are really far off.
Yeah, and before Jaden gets started, if you want to follow along, check the show notes, and there'll be a link to the two articles we're going to use, and we got to give a shout-out to denofgeek.com. They had these really cool kind of articles summarizing upcoming movies and comic book TV shows. Far and away not the only resource out there on the internet. There's tons of info on upcoming movies and TV shows, but Den of Geek updates their these pages pretty frequently to keep them up to date with any new news that comes out about comic book TV shows or movies. So you want to make sure to give them credit.
Yeah, definitely. All right, first to start off, we got Deadpool coming out in 2016. If you guys don't know who Deadpool is, he first appeared in 91, and he is a snarky, certifiably insane, wisecracking merc with a mouth. And he's pretty funny. I enjoy the character a lot, and he's going to be played by Ryan Reynolds, and it's coming out February 12th next year.
Yeah, now he was in Wolverine Origins, right?
Yeah.
But they had... change him around. It's kind of funny. Like, they say Merc with a mouth in that movie. They change him around where he couldn't even talk.
Yeah, it was weird. They sewed his mouth shut because the guy who created him was tired of hearing him talk.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I never saw Wolverine Origins. I heard it wasn't very good.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. But Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool was part of the... who I would say was one of the best parts of the movie. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you think he's a good choice to play... Deadpool?
I think so, and especially after seeing the trailer, I think he's going to be a good Deadpool.
Yeah, I haven't even watched the trailer. But yeah, I like Ryan Reynolds as an actor. I thought he did an okay job as Hal Jordan, but I do think he's probably more well-suited to play Deadpool, because...
yeah, definitely.
Even when he was playing Hal Jordan, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, and Hal Jordan's a little more straight-laced. He doesn't really crack too many jokes in the comics, so... yeah, that's one of the few comic book movies that's still, I was going to say one of the few to still be scheduled to come out this year, but you said February, right?
Yeah, February next year.
Cool. What's up next?
All right, next is Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. I'm sure that most of you have heard about this, but it's Ben Affleck as Batman, and Henry Cavill as Superman, and it's going to be kind of a... Batman meeting Superman for the first time and them kind of butting heads. And that's coming out in the 25th of March next year.
Yeah, I'm sure if you're a comic book fan, you've heard about this movie. Coming off the critical, well, not critical, I'd say maybe financial success of Man of Steel, the reviews were pretty mixed as far as whether the critics liked it or not. But DC and Warner Brothers seems to be pulling out all the stops for this. And one thing I worry about is supposedly Aquaman's going to be in it, Wonder Woman, Cyborg. So, you know, we know that Warner Brothers is planning a Justice League movie at some point, so you just worry about them sticking too many characters in a movie, and then it suffers like Amazing Spider-Man 2 did.
Yeah, or maybe Avengers 2. It wasn't a terrible movie, but it definitely felt like it didn't spend enough time on its characters. So hopefully that doesn't do the same thing in this.
Yeah, and how do you feel about the casting? Ben Affleck as Batman and Eisenberg.
I really think that the casting is one of the best parts of this movie. I think that Man of Steel had everything that it needed to be a good movie, but it just didn't come together, and I think that the writing was part of the problem there. And I'm hoping that that doesn't happen again in this movie. I hope that they kind of learn their lesson, but I don't know. Seeing the trailer for it doesn't make me too enthused.
Yeah, I worry about David Goyer. He doesn't seem to get it. I've said that many times, but yeah, I thought one of the highlights of the Man of Steel movie, one of the few things I did really enjoy about it was Henry Cavill as Clark Kent, Superman. I thought he did a really great job, especially as Clark. I felt he really brought something to that role that we hadn't seen before. You know, it wasn't until the end of the movie that he kind of appears more in the Clark Kent version, I guess you'd say, that most of us are familiar with, being a bit more nebbish and such. So I look forward to seeing him play that side of Clark Kent. You know, he seemed to be, you know, he played a Clark Kent that was unsure of himself and seemed to be searching for his place in the world when the movie first started out, discovering his powers and such. So, yeah, I thought he did a really great job. So I'm very happy to see him return. Ben Affleck as Batman, I don't really have an opinion on it. I want to wait and see. I don't want to say whether I think it's, you know, good or not good or whatever. I'm certainly not going to jump to any conclusions. And Jason Momoa as Aquaman, other than the fact that Aquaman has always appeared as a blonde in comics, I think he's a good choice. I think he'll play Aquaman with a bit more ferocity than we're used to seeing, maybe. Except perhaps in the Peter David run when Aquaman got one of his hands chopped off and had the harpoon and the long hair. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, though, really has me scratching my head. You know, she hasn't appeared in too many things. I'm actually not that familiar with her technical work as an actress, but visually, looking at her, to me, she doesn't look anything like what Wonder Woman should look like. So I worry about that. Ray Fisher, I think a Cyborg is a good choice. I absolutely hate Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I despise that casting. He, you know, he's not a physically imposing person. To me, he doesn't resemble Lex Luthor in any way. I have a hard time taking him seriously. And on top of all that, I think he's just a terrible actor. So he's going to have to do a really great job in order to win me over. I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I agree with most of that. I do really like Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I've watched Game of Thrones, and I really liked him in that. But with Jesse Eisenberg, unless he has like his best role yet in this movie, I don't really see him as being very good as Lex Luthor. But I'm hoping that the rest of the movie kind of makes up for that. But Ben Affleck as Batman, I'm just so excited for that. I think he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, it's definitely getting a lot of hype. It's probably one of the superhero movies that's being most looked forward to right now. I just hope that it can deliver, because DC really has pinned a lot of its hopes, you know, the future DC cinematic universe on the success of this movie going forward. So,
yeah. Next, we have Captain America: Civil War. This is going to be based off of the crossover arc from 2006, where you see Tony Stark go hand in hand with Captain America over a government bill aimed at forcing superheroes to register with the powers that be. So this is going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be pretty much Avengers 2.5. Like, most of them are going to be in this movie. And it's going to be done by the Russo brothers, who did Captain America Winter Soldier. So I'm super excited for this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how big of a movie this is, story-wise. Because Civil War, when it came out, was a huge blockbuster hit for Marvel Comics. But it was also this sprawling story that pretty much touched every corner of the Marvel Universe in some way or another. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that story they take on. I mean, certainly in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we've seen so far, there are not the thousands of super-powered beings that exist or did exist in the Marvel Universe at the time of the Civil War crossover. So it'll be interesting to see. Marvel seems to be able to translate the stories very well for those fans of its movies that aren't necessarily comic readers and aren't as familiar with the characters, the people that just go to enjoy you know, a good big blockbuster popcorn movie, you know, rather than the fans that sit there and nitpick about, oh, they changed this, they changed that. So I don't see this Civil War movie doing anything to make a misstep, let's say. I think Marvel will continue to be successful with the way they translate their stories onto the big screen. Like I said, it'll just be interesting to see how much of the story they do bring into the movie. And also, being that the movie was so sprawling and it did touch just about every character in the Marvel Universe in some way, how many new characters will they introduce? Have you heard rumors, Jaden, of people that might appear?
Well, we know that Black Panther is going to be taking a big role in this movie. I think that he was initially going to take what Spider-Man's role was in the comics before that they made that deal with Fox for bringing Iron Man in the movie. I mean, not Iron Man, Spider-Man in the movie. But I think that we're going to see those two, and I don't know if we're going to see too many other new ones because of how many we've been introduced to already. And just the fact that we're going to see all of them already in the movie is going to make it quite crowded. But still, I trust the Russo brothers. A lot of people think that Captain America: The Winter Soldier is the best out of all of the Marvel movies so far. And the fact that it's a Captain America movie, not an Avengers movie, means that it can go over that like 2-hour mark. It could go to 2.5, maybe even two hours and 45 minutes. So I'm thinking that it'll definitely be a pretty well done story. And I can't wait for it to come out. It's coming out on April 29th of next year.
So because it's a Captain America movie, it can be longer than if it was an Avengers movie?
Yeah, because I think that the Captain America Winter Soldier, I'm not sure, but I'm fairly certain that it was 2 hours and 25 minutes or 2 hours and 30 minutes, whereas the Avengers movies were like right at 2 hours or a little bit under, I believe.
You think it's because there's more big-name actors in the Avengers movies, so it costs more? Or more special effects? I mean, why? I don't understand why.
I think that they don't want to, they didn't want to make them too long just for the reason, like, they don't want people to, they want it to be a big blockbuster where you go and you eat popcorn with your family and stuff and you could bring the entire family, whereas I think that Captain America's Civil War is going to be less of a, like, family movie than the Avengers because of the fact that it sounds a little bit more complex.
Huh. I mean, I've heard rumors of Captain Marvel, She-Hulk. I mean, if you look back at the Civil War crossover, you know, some of the most important parts, you had that inner group, the Illuminati, they were referred to. Obviously, Marvel Studios doesn't have the rights to Fantastic Four or X-Men, so right away that eliminates two of the members of that kind of secret leadership group. So no Mr. Fantastic, no Charles Xavier, but Black Panther is a member. Namor, again, we don't, the rights on Namor are murky, whether, you know, that because he debuted well before Fantastic Four, but is he considered a Fantastic Four character? You know, we're just not sure. But Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Captain America, you know, we could all see them. Tony Stark also. So it'll be interesting to see how many of these characters show up for sure. Again, you know, you run the risk of diluting it down and not getting enough characterization when you start throwing a ton of characters on the screen. So I guess we'll see.
Next, we have X-Men Apocalypse, which is going to be the third installment of the X-Men First Class movies. And I guess this is going to be kind of a conclusion of sorts. I guess that they want to make this trilogy kind of like the first X-Men trilogy. And I'm really excited for this. I liked both First Class and Days of Futures Past. They both have great actors, and I'm pretty sure that Jennifer Lawrence isn't coming back for this. And I mean, one of my only complaints about those first two movies was I really didn't like Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique, but this one looks like I don't think she's in this one, so I'm definitely think it's going to be a good one.
Set in the 80s.
Coming out May 19th. Yeah, yeah.
Which I find interesting.
Well, the last one, I believe, was set in the 70s, so I think it's just a short time after.
Yeah, and it's going to have the X-Men, from First Class, where they appeared in Days of Future Past, but also the original cast.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, I mean, I think some of them are going to be reprising their roles, but I don't think all of them, because they got, like, a new Jean Grey, and I know that they have a Jubilee now, and I think that Cyclops is going to be recasted as well, because they're going to be younger.
Yeah. Looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah. And then next after that, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I didn't see the first one. I don't really like the way that the turtles look. They kind of look a little bit too realistic for me. They're kind of gross. But I didn't hear anything too terrible about it, but not anything great. Stephen Amell, Green Arrow on the TV show, is going to be playing Casey Jones, so I guess that's going to be pretty cool. But it's coming out in June 3rd, 2016.
Yeah, you know, I've never seen a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Didn't see any of the old ones from way back when. I didn't see the most recent one. So it's not one I'll go and look at. It's Michael Bay, so, you know, a lot of eye candy, a lot of explosions. I know at one point when he was, it was rumored he was involved in producing this remake. There was talk of making the Turtles aliens. I don't think that happened. I think there was too much backlash on the internet over that, so that's probably a good thing. But obviously it did well enough if they're making another one.
Yeah, well, even if Michael Bay makes bad movies, they seem to make money, so. Suicide Squad is next. That's coming out in August 5th of 2016. If you guys don't know what this is, it's kind of like a... they got a squad of these supervillains in... penitentiary, I think it was Arkham, and they put like these chips in their necks or their brains or whatever, what have you, and if they don't do what they're told to do, they get killed, basically. So it's kind of bad guys working for the government to do good things. I'm really looking forward to this. Jared Leto's playing the Joker in this, and I've heard that Will Smith has said that he's only ever met Jared Leto once, even though he's been working with him on set this entire time, because he's just always in character as the Joker. So I'm really excited to see his take on it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see his take on it. Obviously, there were mixed reactions when we saw those pictures of Jared Leto in his Joker makeup. I'm not totally sold on all the tattoos. Maybe I just like, you know, I prefer my Joker to be a little more classic. I maybe could even get on board with most of the tattoos, but the one across the forehead, it just, I don't know, for some reason it bothers me. It just rubs me the wrong way. But that said, that doesn't bother me as much as Will Smith as Deadshot. I just don't see it. You know, I like Will Smith. I think he's a good actor. But unfortunately, he's gotten to the point where he's become such a well-known actor that he, in the last few things I've seen him in, he kind of just plays himself, if you know what I mean. Like, you see him on screen and you don't think Deadshot, you'd think, oh, there's Will Smith. Will Smith's playing Will Smith again, you know? So I worry about that, because I think Deadshot has the potential to be a really big character. And in fact, probably because of this Suicide Squad movie that's upcoming, there's actually going to be a Deadshot miniseries coming up pretty soon, written by Brian Buccellato. So I'm looking forward to that comic. As far as Suicide Squad concept as a whole, I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of the second iteration. For those of you not familiar with Suicide Squad, back in the 60s, I believe it was My Adventure Comics. They were these soldiers that had either been wounded or were basically on their last legs for one reason or another. I think maybe one had some fatal disease or whatever. And so they took on these missions that were considered suicide. And so they were just soldiers. They didn't have superpowers. It ran in several of DC's anthology books in the 60s. And then in 1987, spinning out of the Legends miniseries written by John Ostrander with art by John Byrne, there was a new version of Suicide Squad, and that's where they brought in this idea of Belle Reve Prison being run by Amanda Waller as a super security, high maximum security for all these supervillains to be placed in the DC universe. And they came up with this idea of recruiting Rick Flagg, who I believe had been a member of the original Suicide Squad, as the leader of these villains, and they would send them out with these explosive bracelets on their wrists to undertake these missions that were very dangerous in exchange for supposedly freeing them. And basically thinking that, well, you know, if one of them gets killed, who cares? It's just a supervillain. So I was a big fan of that run. It lasted, I believe, over 100 issues. And then, of course, with the New 52 relaunch in 2011, there was a Suicide Squad series that ran into the 30s, I believe, and it ended with the Forever Evil crossover, and then the new Suicide Squad restarted after the Forever Evil crossover. So that's probably, that title, the new Suicide Squad, is probably the closest you'll see to this screen version. Although, to my knowledge, the Joker's never been a member of Suicide Squad. So I think that's just, they're putting him in the movie. You know, he's one of the most well-known villains. And, yeah, I heard the same thing Jaden did about how Jared Leto was pretty much always in character as the Joker. So I guess we'll see. Should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Next we have Gambit. This is, if for those of you who don't know, he's kind of an X-Men who throws cards and magical cards and stuff, and he's going to be played by what's his name? Channing Tatum. Yeah. And it's coming out on October 7th of next year. I'm not so sure about this. Channing Tatum, I don't really see him as Gambit. I just can't really picture it in my head. And I'm not really that huge of a fan of the character, so I'm gonna have to wait and see how this one turns out.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Gambit back in the day. But I feel like he's a little bit somewhat a product of his time, having come out of the late 80s, early 90s. I don't know that he's going to translate to the modern day that well. And much like you, Jaden, I just don't see Channing Tatum as a guy with a thick Cajun accent just throwing these cards around. So I guess it's going to be kind of a wait-and-see thing. We really don't know too much about the story or who the villain's going to be. So I don't know. I have a feeling this one could end up being kind of a misstep. I could easily see it bombing and just being like really cheesy and not translating well to the big screen.
Yeah, I could see this being next year's Fantastic Four for sure.
I don't know if it will bomb that bad, but yeah, I don't have any expectations for it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Next we have Doctor Strange, which, for those of you who don't know, is the Stephen Strange in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's a surgeon who can be a bit of a dick, who becomes the master of mystic arts after he loses the ability to work in a car accident. He's going to be played by Benedict Cumberbatch, and that's coming out November 6th of next year.
Yeah, Doctor Strange has been around for a real, real long time, but isn't necessarily a household name. Stephen Strange, this like world-class surgeon. So obviously his hands are very important to him. And he very arrogant, as a lot of surgeons tend to be. You almost have to have that arrogance and supreme confidence in yourself to, you know, because you're working on these people, you know, with your human skill, and their life is literally in your hands. And so you kind of have to believe, have this utmost belief and confidence in yourself to the point where it becomes arrogance. So I don't remember if alcohol was involved or whatever, or if he was just speeding, but he gets in this car accident and he can no longer hold his hands steady. He has like nerve damage or muscle damage or what have you. And so he searches every avenue for a cure so that he can return to his practice of being a surgeon. And one of those avenues that he pursues is a mystical cure, or, you know, mystical healing.
And he ends up becoming the Earth's foremost Sorcerer Supreme, as he's called. So, looking forward to this one. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is an excellent actor. Again, this is one we don't really know much about the story. You know, we don't know that it'll be an origin story. And we're also not sure if we're going to see Doctor Strange show up in the Captain America Civil War. So I guess after Civil War, we probably will have a better idea of how well-established Doctor Strange will be. I mean, it could be that he will be well-established in Civil War, and this movie will be a flashback to his origin. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Benedict Cumberbatch is, I think he's a great casting for Doctor Strange. Next we have the Killing Joke animated movie, which should be coming out 2016, but hasn't been decided exactly what the date will be. It's based off of the Alan Moore, Brian Bolland's Killing Joke run on Batman, which is very popular from 1988.
Yeah, probably one of the top-selling DC graphic novels of all time.
Yeah, definitely.
Up there, I mean, it's like kind of like the top three. Watchmen, Killing Joke, and Batman Dark Knight Returns.
And it's said that Bruce Timm will be involved, so that's pretty cool. And hopefully Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill will come reprise their iconic roles for this movie. I mean, this will definitely be a big one.
Yeah, for sure. There's rumors that this could be the first ever rated R DC movie. And we're just not too sure. There haven't been a lot of details released. We don't know if it's going to go straight to DVD, like the other DC Universe animated movies have, or if it's going to go out to theaters. So one thing's for sure, it's going to sell a lot of DVDs. I mean, it is a very popular story. You almost like if for some reason you had somebody, knew somebody that wanted to know what the Joker was all about and was completely unfamiliar with them, and that you could only give them one story to read, 9 times out of 10, a Batman fan would, this would be the book they would point to.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to be the first rated R film, DC film, because if it's going to be true to the source material, I feel like it kind of has to be.
Yeah, it's definitely violent, definitely a dark take.
And if they want to do this animated movie, I feel like they're probably going to take out all the stops and do it right.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to accurately reflect the story that Alan Moore told.
Yeah. Also, we have the Batman Bad Blood animated movie that's going to be coming out in DC in 2016 for DC. It hasn't been said exactly when it's going to come out, but Bruce Timm might be involved, and it's definitely going to be out in 2016.
Yeah, that one's going to bring Batwoman into the DC animated universe.
Yeah. And then we have a Justice League versus Titans animated movie, which will be coming out in 2016. Not much to report on this one. Not much is known about it, but something to look forward to. I've liked what the Justice League animated movies have been so far since Justice League War, so I think this should be pretty good.
Yeah, we should also point out this is an original story, JLA versus Titans. It's not adapted from any comic story that's previously been published.
And now we're starting 2017, Bloodshot. The Valiant character will be coming out this year. It hasn't been announced the exact day, but he's a, I don't know if I'd call him an android, but he's somewhat, he's a mercenary who's kind of like a $1 billion man or something along those lines, but it's going to be really good. I'm really looking forward to this one. It's Valiant, so they usually do pretty good with their stuff, and his story is a very interesting one for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely not an android, but he's definitely not human either. For those who are not familiar, he's infected with nanites. His blood is just teeming with these microscopic machines. Give him super strength, allow him to alter his appearance. He can heal from just about any injury you can imagine, as long as the nanites have protein, building blocks to rebuild the muscle and bone and nervous system. of this man. So yeah, a really great concept. All along Valiant has said that they'd be willing to make movies. You know, they have some properties that they feel would translate well to the big screen, but they're going to take their time and make sure it's done right. And they're releasing this, through Sony, but, the powers that be over at Valiant certainly are going to be on top of it every step of the way and make sure that it's they have the right script, the right actor. And I expect this to be a success, and I expect it to really, put Valiant on the map.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people will know, who don't know Valiant after this movie.
Yeah, it's being directed by David Litch and Chad Stahelski, who directed John Wick, which was a very critically acclaimed action movie starring Keanu Reeves. It came out last year, right? Or was it this year?
Yeah, I think it was actually early this year, I feel like.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah. And then we have the untitled Wolverine sequel that has been announced, but we don't have a title for yet. This should be the last time we'll see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, or at least he said it is. So this is going to be interesting. I'm curious to see if it's going to be Wolverine 3 or Wolverine 2, because if they count the origin of Wolverine, it would be 3. But I've heard good things about the Wolverine movie, but I haven't seen it personally, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, Jackman even went on Twitter and asked his fans, you know, okay, I'm only going to do one more Wolverine movie. What story do you want, you know, do you want to see? What do you want to see? And he got a lot of responses, said he would try to read as many as possible. So it'll be interesting to see what they choose. And it'll also be interesting to see Jackman walk away from the role. I mean, I feel like he's a very good actor. He's a very smart actor. The choices he's made in the roles he's done in his career, maybe with the exception of Pan, where he plays Captain Hook right now, that's totally bombing at the box office. But, you know, I feel like he's one of those guys that knows when to walk away, and he wants to walk away on top and not stay too long and see the quality of the work suffer. Plus, you know, I mean, he's been playing the role for almost 20 years now. The guy's not getting any younger. It's got to be pretty hard as you get older to play these you know, huge action roles.
Yeah, definitely.
And that one's slated for March 2nd, 2017.
And then next we have the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. The first Guardians of the Galaxy was really widely praised. Everybody seemed to love it. And it's really one of the first kind of non-mainstream superhero movies to really be a success. Chris Pratt was definitely the best part as the lead in that movie. He definitely carried the movie, but
yeah, breakout role.
I think that, yeah, definitely. He is on like a star now because of this movie, and I think a lot of people are looking forward to this. James Gunn is coming back, of course, to do another Guardian story, so definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, I never saw the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Heard only good things. And yeah, I think as long as James Gunn is pretty much calling the shots as co-writer and director, that, you know, this Guardians of the Galaxy 2 will have the same feel of the first movie. And, you know, all the cast is returning. So expect it to be, you know, just as successful as the first one.
Yeah, definitely. I don't see why they would take any of the creative power out of his hands, considering how much of a success the first one is. So.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you think about the fact that hardly anybody knew who Guardians of the Galaxy were. I mean, they weren't even B-list characters in the Marvel Universe. They were C or D-list at best. And, you know, even when people first heard about it, Guardians of the Galaxy, why are they making a movie about them? But, you know, to their credit, you know, Marvel proved that if you take interesting characters and you make, you know, a well-made movie that's well-acted and well-directed with good pacing and a good story, that the people are willing to take a chance on it because of Marvel's track record. And if the movie's good, through word of mouth, will spread, and you'll make a killing, which Guardians of the Galaxy did. 28th of April 2017 in the UK, and May 5th here in the US for the release date on that one.
And then next after that, we have the Wonder Woman solo movie, which is coming out in June 23rd of 2017, which this is actually the first superhero movie of any Marvel or DC that's going to be a woman lead. So I think that DC would probably get some traction on this.
Yeah, but again, just like the Guardians, kind of the opposite of the Guardians of the Galaxy, actually. You know, Wonder Woman is completely a household name and a household character, widely known, you know, throughout the entire world. But if this is not a good movie, it's going to kill them.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, here you are. Yeah, you're the first, DC, Warner Brothers, you'd be the first to have, you know, a female lead carrying the movie. If Gal Gadot isn't the right choice, if it's not well made, if the acting is subpar, if the story is weak, and this bombs, that could be it for DC superhero movies for a while.
Yeah, and I feel this movie really hinges on the success of Batman vs. Superman as well, too, because if you see Wonder Woman as a good character in that movie, if people really like her, then I think a lot of people will come and see this, but if people really don't like her, then I feel like it'll hurt this movie for sure.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say it hinges on Batman vs. Superman, but it hinges on her role in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, June 23rd, 2017 is supposedly the release date for that one. And of course, all these release dates will probably, not all of them, but some of them could easily get changed. That happens all the time. Right up to the last minute, movie studios are constantly moving things around, trying to maximize exposure and release their movie at what they feel is the best time to give it the best shot to make them a lot of money.
And next on the list, we have Fantastic Four 2. And the initial prediction was July 14th of 2017, but I really don't think that this movie is going to be made personally, not only because of how bad this movie bombed, this last one bombed, but I feel like all the actors in it are probably going to want to get as far away from it as possible. And Josh Trank, I don't think he's definitely not coming back because of all of the things that he said.
That guy may never work in Hollywood again after the way Fantastic Four bombed.
Well, I mean, not only that, he said a lot of stuff that he probably shouldn't have said about his work conditions and stuff. So this one definitely is a question mark. I don't think anybody's probably going to see it. Even if it is a well-made movie, it just kind of has... I think the Fantastic Four is tainted for the foreseeable future because of the previous movie.
I would tend to agree with that unless Fox gives the rights back up to Marvel or works out something like Sony did with Spider-Man, and Fox agrees, hey, goes to Marvel Studios and says, hey, let's make this together. I think that could really turn it around if Marvel Cinematic Universe fans and fans of the Fantastic Four and fans of Marvel Comics hear that Marvel Cinematic has their hands and on the Fantastic Four, and they're going to be the guiding force behind a new Fantastic Four movie. The hype and the positive publicity from that would be huge. Huge.
Yes, very true.
And so that could, you know, make it a success.
And then next we have the Marvel-assisted Spider-Man movie, which is slotted for July 28th, 2017. I'm actually pretty excited for this. Tom Holland has been chosen for Spider-Man, which I don't think anybody really knows how he's going to do in the role, but I think that this is probably going to be a lot better than the previous Spider-Mans because of the fact that the Marvel Cinematic Universe will be involved and Disney will be involved. So hopefully it'll kind of give us a breath of fresh air with the character. I mean, Spider-Man is definitely one of the most popular characters in all of comics, and I think he really deserves a good film.
Yeah, I expect that we'll see Spider-Man in Captain America Civil War, so...
Yeah, that has been confirmed. I don't think he's going to be that big of a role, considering they cast him about halfway through the filming in the movie, but we'll definitely see him.
Yeah, so based on the success of that and how big a role he plays, and again, as long as the character is portrayed well, Tom Holland does a good job, that can only be like a little teaser to see Tom Holland, you know, carry a film, being this Fantastic Four film, which doesn't have a name, title, any details at all yet. So other than we know that it's going to be a younger Peter Parker than we've seen to this point, like 14, 15 is what I've read.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see this get moved up if people are really happy with Tom Holland's performance as Spider-Man in Civil War, just to kind of get it closer to the Civil War movie.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, July 20th, 2017, it's not that far away, only a year and a half.
Yeah, that's true. Next we have Thor Ragnarok, which is slated for November 3rd of 2017. I really liked the Thor The Dark World movie. I thought it was a lot better than the first Thor, just because of the fact that a lot of it wasn't on Earth, and it did have all of the fantastical elements of Thor. So I think I'm really excited for this. Chris Hemsworth is definitely a great casting for Thor, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I just recently read something about Tom Hiddleston said he hasn't talked to anybody over at Marvel in, like, 2 years, so kind of interesting. I imagine, you know, Loki's got to return. This movie was originally scheduled for July 28, 2017, which is the date we just gave for the Spider-Man movie, so that's why this one got bumped back. But yeah, I agree, Chris Hemsworth is a perfect casting for Thor, done a great job. This is supposedly going to be a much darker turn from the previous two Thor movies. You know, the first one I don't think was as successful as Marvel hoped it would be. The second one, much better quality, was better received. So it'll be interesting to see which movie this one follows in. You know, will it continue the success of the first one, or will we see it backslide a little? So I've never been a huge fan of Thor and the Asgardians, the stories in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I have enjoyed the two Thor movies that have come out thus far.
And then shortly after that, we have the Justice League Part 1, which was really what DC's ramping up to with Marvel, Batman vs. Superman and Wonder Woman. And this is coming out in November 17th. It says that Zack Snyder is going to be back directing, and Chris Terrio will also be involved. Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Gal Gadot, all the people that we mentioned before. I'm excited to see this. I mean, it's the first real Justice League movie, so I don't know how you wouldn't really be that excited to see it on the big screen. But I think this is also another one that is kind of going to be dependent on Batman vs. Superman, on how good it can be. So. We'll definitely see.
Yeah, for sure. Now, that was a previously planned Justice League movie that was pretty far down the pre-production stage when the writer's strike hit Hollywood a few years ago and derailed those plans. I mean, we had people cast, we had script had gone through a couple rewrites. It was really close to getting off the ground, and unfortunately that writer's strike derailed it, so... I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess it'll depend on how this Justice League movie eventually does when it comes out. We probably won't have that perspective for, you know, 10 or 20 years.
I will say, though, that Ezra Miller as Flash, I think that's a terrible casting, and I wish that they would... I was hoping that they would take the Flash from the TV show and maybe have him have an appearance, but... I guess we're stuck with Ezra Miller at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was supposedly going to be the Flash in that Justice League movie that was, you know, planned way back when. But I don't know. I don't see him as Flash either. So, you know, this movie's far enough out that I don't think you can say that he's going to be the Flash at this point. But at the same time, you know, he had agreed to play him before. For some reason, they really like him in the role. I wouldn't be surprised if he is cast as a Flash, but
still holding out hope for someone else, like maybe Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
So, all right, what's next?
Next, we have the Lego Batman movie. This is going to have who's coming back for it? Will Arnett is going to be playing becoming back for Bruce Wayne Batman here, and Seth Graham Smith of Dark Shadows and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter will script it, and some guys from Robot Chicken. I'm looking forward to this. I really like the Lego movie, and I think that Will Arnett as Batman was one of the best parts of that movie. So I think it's going to be a cool one.
Yeah, I expect it to be well done, just like the Lego movie. I mean, they really knocked it out of the park with that movie. All the same people involved here, so expect the quality to be just as high.
Yeah. Next, starting in 2018, we have the Black Panther solo movie. This is coming out on February 16th. It would be Mr. Bozeman as Black Panther. He's going to be coming back after Civil War. I'm looking forward to this. I don't really know a lot about Black Panther as a character, but it's Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they haven't really made a misstep yet, so I think that they'll be doing a pretty good job with this as well.
Yeah, I find this one to be interesting. I almost feel like Marvel's doing this to provide some diversity to their lineup for diversity's sake. He's never been a huge player in the Marvel Universe. It's only been in the last 10 years or so that Marvel has tried to increase his profile in the universe, and I feel like the reason for that is to have more diversity, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But again, this is one of those movies where they can really shoot themselves in the foot if it's not done well. So I guess we'll wait and see.
Yep. And then next we have the Flash solo movie, which is coming out in March 23rd, 2018. And Grant Gustin who's Flash in the CW series, won't be the star here. But Ezra Miller is still said to be the cast for it. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. There's not really much information about it at this time.
Yeah, so far out, 23rd of March 2018, and so a lot could change between here, you know, between now and then.
Yeah, definitely. Next, we have Avengers Infinity War Part 1. This is the start of what looks to be the finale of the Avengers, or at least this part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so I expect this to be pretty, really good and be a huge, moneymaker. I mean, it's Avengers. It's part one of the Infinity Wars, what they've been ramping up to with the previous movies and all the movies up to this. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, again, much like Civil War, a huge crossover, a milestone event in the Marvel Universe. So, you could expect to see just about anybody, show up on screen in this one. So, again, Marvel have to tread that fine line between giving fans what they want by, showing a lot of their favorite characters on the big screen, but making sure not to throw so many characters out there that they can't tell a good story and have some good character development. May 4th, 2018 on that one.
Yep. And next we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, the sequel to the previous Ant-Man movie. This will be, most likely it'll be Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly as the roles that they were playing in the previous movie. This is actually, I'm pretty sure it was just announced recently that this was going to be coming out. I think that this probably, sequel depended on how well the Ant-Man movie did, and seeing as it did pretty well, not quite Guardians of the Galaxy as well, but still pretty well, they decided to go for a second one.
Yeah, this one was, I think it might have been announced at New York Comic Con last weekend. So yeah, real recent for this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed the first one. I think that Paul Rudd was a good choice for Ant-Man. And then next we have an untitled X-Men movie. I guess this is probably going to be the sequel to, or maybe another start of something for X-Men after Apocalypse. There's not much said about it. They say that Bryan Singer will most likely be coming back to direct, but I'm sure that some of the roles will be reprised as in Apocalypse, but no telling to how many of them.
Yeah, again, a lot of these ones that we're going to go through now, we're going to just fly through them pretty quick because they're so far out and so many things could change, and we just don't know that much about them.
Next, we have an animated Spider-Man movie. It's weird to announce an animated movie this far out in advance. It says summer of 2018. That seems like a ways off. I think it probably could come earlier or even later than that, but a well-made animated Spider-Man movie seems like something that Marvel might be missing. DC seems to blow them out of the water when it comes to animated movies, so I guess we'll see on that one. Next after that is Aquaman. The Jason Momoa will be reprising the role in July of 2018. I'm looking forward to this. Like I said before, Momoa, I think, is going to make a good cast for it. I think he's going to be a good Aquaman, probably a very gritty and angry Aquaman. I could definitely see, like you said, him having the hook hand and the long hair.
What's interesting is... this one's coming out between the two Justice League movies, so we'll see Momoa as Aquaman in Batman vs. Superman, and then we'll see him as Aquaman in the first Justice League movie, and then we'll see him as Aquaman in his own movie, and then we'll see him as Aquaman in Justice League Part 2. So, again, Batman vs. Superman bombs, or people seem to hate Jason Momoa, looks like he's going to have some job security for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Now we're starting 2019. The Captain Marvel solo movie will be coming out. There's not much information on this one. There's just kind of wild speculation. Ronda Rousey really wants the role, but I highly doubt that she's going to get it considering her lack of acting experience. But it'll be cool seeing her.
This one's far enough out that by that time, I mean, who knows? I've heard names like Katie Sackhoff, Emily Blunt. So, again, I mean, this one's far enough out. If Rousey does well, you know she's starring as the main character in a Roadhouse remake. You know, the Patrick Swayze movie where he plays the bouncer?
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. That could be terrible. I mean, a female bouncer. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure Ronda Rousey could kick my ass, but it just doesn't necessarily seem that realistic on the big screen, but... anyway, yeah, not a lot of details known about this Captain Marvel movie, but it seems to be one that you constantly hear speculation on who's going to be cast. But, you know, we could be 2 years away still from having somebody cast in the role if it doesn't get, you know, canceled between now and then or moved back or whatever. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you constantly hear about people talking about fatigue, saying that the audiences are going to get tired of all these comic book properties and the bubble could burst at any time. And a lot of these movies that are, you know, being planned could, you know, never materialize. So anything this far out, 2018, 2019, you know, it's all speculation at this point that the movie will even be made.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I think this is similar to the Aquaman movie where it's in between the Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2. So I'm curious to know if she'll show up in part one or if maybe she'll just be in part two.
I would think she would show up in both. I mean, she's a pretty important cosmic character in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see a casting for it soon then, considering they're going to start filming, I think, next year probably for the Infinity War because they're going to be done with Civil War. They're done with Civil War, I think, at this point. Shazam is the next one on the list. This is also I think it's going to be similar to Captain Marvel. It's kind of, this one could definitely get canceled if the bubble does pop on superhero movies, but really the only casting that we've heard is The Rock is going to be playing Black Adam, which I think actually isn't a terrible casting. I think it'll be kind of cool to see that. I'm a big fan of the character. I hope that they do this right.
Yeah, me too. I think the key is going to be who's going to play Shazam, Captain Marvel. Got to be somebody with enough screen presence that The Rock doesn't just dominate the scenes that they share. So that's going to me, that's going to be key.
And I think that they have this very unique problem here where they're going to have to get a good casting for not only Shazam, but they're going to have to find a good kid to play Billy Batson as well.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that's a little easier because it's a lot easier to cast an unknown because simply for the age factor, you know,
yeah,
kids much likely or much less likely to have appeared in a bunch of things already. So
this is slotted for April of 2019. And next after that, we have the Avengers Infinity War Part 2, the second part of the finale of the Avengers series. This is going to be released in May of 2019. Not a bunch has been talked about this movie. I mean, there hasn't been much info about part one, so of course not much about part two either. But definitely looking forward to it. And soon after that is going to be the Justice League Part 2, which will be coming out in June of 2019. This is going to be directly competing with the Avengers. It's a month after, so they'll still both be in theaters for sure. Same thing as the previous. We don't really have much information on it. Next after that, we have Inhumans, which is kind of like what Marvel's replaced the X-Men in their universe basically with at this point. They're more focused on them than the X-Men in their comic universe, at least. Another one that's kind of a question mark. If the bubble does burst, this could easily be canceled, but not too many people know about the Inhumans, and this could definitely be a good or bad movie. Not really much is known.
Yeah, what's interesting about the Inhumans, a lot of talk at the New York Comic Con this last weekend about this movie already being off the slate, and that stems from the recent split with Kevin Feige no longer having to answer to Marvel CEO or whatever his current title is of Isaac Perlmutter or however you say his name. Feige now reports directly to the Disney president, and considering the success he's had helming the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far, he feels like he's kind of been let out to play, so to speak. You know, he has fewer people to answer to. He has a little more carte blanche to steer things the way he wants to go. The issue arises in the fact that the Inhumans have played quite a significant role in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series already. And so the TV side of things is still under that Marvel umbrella, whereas the Marvel Universe has kind of escaped, like I said. So there's some tension there, being that, you know, here's this one property that supposedly needs to be shared between the two. So there were people, no one willing to go on record by name saying this movie's dead, but plenty of rumors going around. And then Marvel released I can't remember who it was I read, maybe Axel Alonso over at Marvel or Tom Brevoort over at Marvel, saying no, this movie was still a go. But again, it's so far out, even if it doesn't drop off the schedule or get canceled for the reasons I've said, it could for other reasons altogether. So yeah, this one's a big question mark in my mind.
All right, next, and we're going to start with the movies in 2020. Cyborg has been slotted for April of 2020, so it's going to be the Cyborg solo movie. I do like Ray Fisher as Castor Cyborg. I'm not a huge Cyborg fan. If the movie's done right, it could be really good. But, I mean, so far, not really much to say more to say about it.
Yeah, one thing I will mention, though, is it'll be interesting to see how much this movie takes from the classic Cyborg, from Marv Wolfman and George Perez's legendary run on Teen Titans, or how much it borrows from the most recent place we've seen Cyborg, which is in his own solo title, written by David Walker, that just launched just a few months ago. This movie's far enough out, you know, 5 years away from now that by the time they start working on a script and such, you know, you could have 2 or 3 years of the Cyborg Solo series having come out. And if that series does well, you could easily see this movie following those lines rather than the classic stuff from Wolfman and Perez. So certainly something to watch out for.
Yeah. Now, some of the movies I'm going to be mentioning are just kind of places where Marvel has said they will have a film but haven't announced what film it'll be. There's a mystery Marvel film that's coming out in May of 2020. Nobody really knows what it's going to be, but they're going to release that then. There's talk of a Green Lantern Corps coming out in June of 2020. There's not any casting news. Nathan Fillion was the character's voice in a lot of the animation, but he's already a bit old. Like, for Hal Jordan, and in 5 years, I feel like he might be definitely a bit old for the role, but I'm sure he could take the mantle, but I don't really see him as the role, so hopefully that'll be good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I'm feeling he could pull it off if they wanted to do not an origin story of Green Lantern, but much like Ben Affleck in Batman vs. Superman, you know, someone who's been doing it for a long time. And then you could maybe bring in some of the other Lanterns and Hal Jordan / Nathan Fillion could kind of mentor them. I could see that working, but I don't know if that's the best direction to go. But again, so far out, you know, really too soon to say.
And for the rest of the year, they have two more Marvel movies that are unnamed. So one coming out in July and one coming out, I guess we'll see what those might be.
Yeah, at this point, these three mystery films they announced, absolutely no idea. It could be anything at this point. It may even be that they don't even know. Or they may have.
Yeah, just see how things turn out and
maybe
make new films like a Captain Marvel sequel if people really like that movie, or Doctor Strange number 2 or something along those lines.
Yeah, there's still been talk of a Hulk solo. You know, we know Universal has the rights to Hulk. I don't know where those rights stand at the moment. But, you know, it could be they have several ideas for each of these dates, and they're just seeing which scripts or which script treatments are turned in that seem to have captured the essence of the characters the best, or they think has the best chance to be financially successful.
Yeah.
Well, I think that just about does it for movies.
Yeah.
And there's a few more on the list. You can go check out the article yourself. But again, they're so far out that at this point...
most of these haven't even been announced as actually happening yet. They're just kind of like movies that the names have been bought up, or somebody has like something in writing saying that they might make a movie at some point.
Yeah, basically the options have been picked up for them. So,
yeah.
Again, you can go and check out the article for yourself on... denofgeek.com.
My name is Oliver Queen.
I'm going to train you. Use it.
There are other ways to see.
Kingston are left behind.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Malcolm Merlyn, you have failed this city.
All right, TV shows. There's not a lot to be said by me. I don't watch much TV other than baseball. I do someday hope to watch Arrow and Flash and Gotham and all those shows, maybe when I retire and I have more time on my hands. So I'm not really going to have much to add. I'm just going to let Jaden go down the list here. But one thing I did recall before we move on to TV is that there is a clone movie in development at Universal. Now, Clone, we spotlighted it on a Comic Source episode podcast a few months ago. You can go back and listen and hear our thoughts on it. It makes me very, very happy, and I can't wait for that to come out. So we'll definitely let you know the details on a Clone movie when we find out more. So, all right, Jaden, take it away with the TV news.
All right, before I start with the list, I'm going to mention one TV show that isn't on this list that might be considered kind of a comic book TV show. Heroes Reborn, the short series that has relaunched on, I believe it's NBC. I've watched the first few episodes of it, and I will say that if you did not enjoy the last three seasons of Heroes, that you should not watch this new short series. It's very convoluted and not very good. But, I mean, what do you really, I didn't really expect much from it. The last three seasons of Heroes were kind of a mess, so there's that. So, we start with Fear the Walking Dead. I've seen the first five episodes of this. I haven't seen the finale yet, but I really enjoyed it. It's very much different than The Walking Dead because it's actually as the outbreak is happening, and it's a cool look at the, Infected and The Walking Dead. I think that it's definitely worth watching, especially if you're a fan of The Walking Dead. But you don't really necessarily have to have watched the previous show to get into this. Next, we have Supergirl. I've only seen the pilot of this. I really didn't enjoy it. I'm not planning on watching the rest of the series. It has some of the same guys from Arrow and The Flash, but I just really don't. I don't really like the vibe of it. It kind of feels like Supergirl meets Gossip Girl to me. It's very, it seems very teen girl centric. Like it just kind of goes for that crowd. So if that is your type of cup of tea, then definitely check it out. But I'm not a real big fan of it. Next, we have Legends of Tomorrow. This hasn't come out yet. This is going to be a half season. I think it's going to be 12 episodes. It's going to be halfway through the Flash and Arrow season. The first couple episodes of Flash and Arrow have started set up for this. You can see where the plot's going, and I'm really looking forward to this. It definitely looks like a very Flash-esque show. It's going to be very lighthearted, big team. They're going to be working together. I think it's going to be a really good show, so I definitely check that out.
Yeah, that might be one that I have to just make time to watch. It seems like it could be really, really cool. Plus, the villain supposedly is going to be Vandal Savage, who I think is awesome. Criminally underused in the comics, and I think is a perfect choice for the villain going up against this group. I mean, he's such a powerful villain, been around for a long time, kind of villain that you would need a big group to take out. Plus, being that he's immortal, it brings in the whole time traveling aspect, which I'm always a sucker for time travel stories. So,
yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be like the CW's version of the Avengers, I think. So, it's going to be really cool. Next, we have Krypton. It's going to be a before Krypton blew up story, just like. Prequel, not so much of a prequel, but like it's just going to be on Krypton, just the life of on Krypton, I believe, and this is going to be on Sci-Fi. I haven't heard much about this, but I think it could be good, it could be bad. We'll have to wait and see on this one.
Yeah, not much announced about this. We do know David Goyer is supposed to write and produce, so even if it does get made, it'll probably suck. Supposedly going to be on the Sci-Fi channel, but I kind of doubt this one's ever going to get off the ground.
Yeah, I feel like once they see a pilot for it, unless the pilot's really good, it probably won't get through, or at least if it does, it'll probably only be half season, if that.
Even the concept doesn't really sound that good to me. I mean, the whole point is, you know, a Kryptonian comes from Krypton to Earth, and the radiation of the yellow sun gives them powers. If you go back before any of the Kryptonians came to Earth, then they're just like people walking around, you know, with no powers. Like, what's the point, really? I don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to make it would be all drama and characterization, like a soap opera kind of thing. Why does it need to be on an alien world? Why couldn't you just tell the same stories on Earth with characters you can relate to?
Even if this had good writer, good casting, I don't even think I'd be interested then. So
yeah, I would be more interested if it, instead of Krypton, it was Kandor, and you know, it was the bottled city of Kandor here in Superman's Fortress of Solitude, you know, shrunk down like it always appeared in the comics, and in this bottle to, you know, preserve it. And then all the people did have superpowers because, you know, even though they were shrunk down and living in this bottled city, that bottled city was, you know, on Earth. So all the inhabitants had the same powers as Superman, even though they were shrunk down to teeny tiny size. That would be much more appealing to me than a pre-exploding Krypton story or show.
Next, we have Jessica Jones. This is coming out in November. It's going to be one of the Netflix Marvel shows. I'm really looking forward to this. I've only heard good things about it. The preview looked great. I guess it's going to be the most adult of the Marvel shows so far. And it's led by Kristen Ritter, who was, if you've seen Breaking Bad, she was on about a half season of that. But she did a great job. And, I mean, Daredevil was just so awesome, so I'm definitely really looking forward to this one. Next, we have Luke Cage. It's going to be another of the Netflix series. If you're not familiar with Luke Cage, he's just one of the defenders, one of the people that defends Hell's Kitchen. It's going to be another one of the Marvel Netflix shows, so I'm expecting good things from it. Iron Fist, also another one of the Netflix series. This one's actually kind of far off, but still definitely looking forward to it. He's a really cool character. He's going to be more of a martial artist with spectral powers, so it's going to be a cool take. I think that Netflix does a good job with their series, so I don't see why this one would be any different. And then to end the Netflix shows, Marvel's Defenders, which will include Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. This is really far off, considering that Iron Fist is a ways off, but I think this is going to be a pretty awesome show. I could see it being only five or six episodes because of how big it's going to be, but definitely looking forward to this one, too. Lucifer, based off of the Vertigo Comics series, spiked a bit of controversy considering it's playing somewhat of an anti-hero, even though it's Lucifer in a TV show. I think that this actually looks interesting. I have seen the previews for it, and I guess it's going to be one of the ones that I'm not going to really know whether or not I'm going to like until I see it. So definitely keep your eyes out for Lucifer.
Yeah, I've actually seen the trailer to this just from standing around in the DC booth at San Diego Comic-Con. It looks pretty good. But, of course, I do understand why it's caused controversy with some extreme right-wing people. You know, oh, they're glorifying Lucifer, making him out to be a hero, what have you. I don't agree with that opinion at all. I think it's pretty stupid, actually. But it looks like it could be a fun show.
Yeah, I think it'll be one that, and if it sticks to the Lucifer comics, I think it'll be it'll definitely benefit from that, I think. And the next, pretty much the rest of these are going to be somewhat unknown. Not very many people know about a lot of these, so I'm going to be explaining them a little bit more. George A. Romero's Empire of the Dead will be coming to TV. It's a zombie show. It's about a quarantined Manhattan, which soon gets invested by zombies and vampires. So it's going to be probably Walking Dead-esque with the zombies, but with the vampires, it might be a little bit of a twist. It'll be interesting to see. Next, we have Sex Criminals. It's a much praised comic book from Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick. They have a deal with Universal to produce a TV show for it for 2 years. It's a raunchy Bernard's watch is what it says the comic is. It's about a pair of people who both have the ability to halt time when they orgasm. So I could definitely, it being on NBC, I think, would be a stretch. I don't know how they could really make this work on NBC. I could see it on, like, maybe Stars or Showtime or something like that. But I think if they were going to take this and put it on TV, they probably need something that they could do a little bit more with, and not, most likely not on NBC.
Yeah, I can't really see it on network television.
Yeah, I don't really see how that would work out.
They would have to change the basic premise of the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cable, for sure.
The Wicked plus The Divine. This is along with Sex Criminals. So it's the same with Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick. It's a oft-praised run from Image Comics of people who gain amazing powers by merging with deities but cut their life expectancies to 2 years as part of the deal. I could see this being an interesting show. I don't think that this necessarily would need to be something that's comic book. Like, they wouldn't really need to market it as a comic book show. They could probably just show it off to any sci-fi fans or fantasy fans and probably sell it. So I could definitely see this one on network television. And it sounds like a pretty cool premise. So, The Infinite Horizon is a non-superhero comic that is set to receive a small screen treatment. It's going to be produced by Greg Berlanti. He's been in Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, but it's a bit different than what he's been doing. It's all about this enigmatic soldier with no names who requests to return home, set in the near future. His odyssey is ambushed by shipwrecks, fights in a desire to disappear into obscurity. So I think this will be cool. This sounds interesting. I like Greg Berlanti. He's done well on Flash, Arrow, and hopefully on Legends Tomorrow. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that one. Vixen. This one has been out for a couple episodes. It's a web series animated that goes along with Arrow and the Flash. It also has appearances from characters from Arrow and the Flash on it. I haven't actually seen any of these personally, but I've heard good things. Keep your eyes out, I guess, if you like Arrow and the Flash. The crossover is pretty good, I've heard, so definitely check that out.
I think it's already done. I think it was only like a 6-issue season, and I think the first season's already done. You can find it on CW Seed.
Okay.
Talked to Mark Guggenheim about it at Long Beach Comic Con. So if you want more details, go back to the Comic Source Podcast episode interview with Mark Guggenheim at Long Beach Comic Con. You can find out more about it.
Next we have Outcast, which is going to be, which was created by Robert Kirkman. And it is focused on Kyle Barnes, who as a child suffered repeatedly from possession. As an adult, he goes looking for answers, and he finds a reverend, and then they share a journey into some horrific territory. I think this will be cool, as long as I think Kirkman being involved could definitely make this show make or break. I think his involvement with Walking Dead has made it better, for sure. But I guess time will tell. I'm curious to see what this will look like on AMC.
They released a trailer for this at New York Comic Con last weekend. Haven't seen it myself, but heard it was pretty creepy.
Yeah, I want to check it out. I guess it's actually on Cinemax, not AMC, so it'll be cool to see. I think it'll be cool that it's on Cinemax, so they can kind of do whatever they want and have a little bit more freedom than being on network television. Another series called Enormous is going to be on TV. It's going to be, it was a one-off graphic novella from 2012. The synopsis tells us that a vast ecological cataclysm which spawns colossal beasts unlike anything ever witnessed is what it says. So there's like kaiju-sized monsters terrorizing America. So there's going to be a pretty big monster TV show. Gonna be interesting to see how big the monsters are and how good they look. It's gonna be on Fox, so it'll probably get the amount of money that it would need to get the big monsters, but I'm not sure if it'll be popular enough to hopefully it'll have some staying power. Another series is Dreadstar. This is a bit of a legend in the... Jim Starlin, a bit of a legend in the comics world, having played a key role in the development of Guardians of the Galaxy. These characters were the result of lengthy collaborations from Jim Starlin, and apparently they're very close to an extension of his family, he says, and that Dreadstar exists outside of the main Marvel universe, and he will be starring in this. There's not too much known about this show yet, but it'll be interesting to see, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Jim Starlin's creator-owned project, you know, story he always wanted to tell, so... You know, there's not a huge amount of Dreadstar comics out there. The work is legendary. People who are fans of Jim Starlin have read it. So I don't know that there'll be a lot of surprises. You know, if they just tell the story that Starlin already told, then you're going to kind of know what's coming, but you still want to watch it because it's, you know, cool to see this awesome space opera play out on the big screen or small screen, rather. Because it's not like there's a bunch of stories starring Dreadstar, this character that Jim Starlin created. It, you know, it was a long run, but it was one story told over, you know, many, many years. So I'm a big fan of Dreadstar. I haven't read it in a long time, but it's well done. It's good space opera, good fun sci-fi. So looking forward to this one for sure.
And the rest of these TV shows are going to be returning TV shows that the ones that I have seen I'll kind of comment on. So if you're not completely caught up, you might not want to listen to the rest of it, or you might want to skip ahead if you hear what a show that you haven't been caught up on. First is the Walking Dead season 6. I recently caught up all the way up to season 6. I haven't seen the first episode of the season yet, but after the 5th season, I think that The Walking Dead really picked it back up. It was going pretty slow there for a little while, and it kind of lost my attention, but this previous season, I think, has kind of been a saving grace for them. It's kind of, it really made me get into the show again. I think it's definitely worth watching if you're behind.
What made you decide to get caught up? I thought you were done with it.
I was, but then I kept reading things that said that the last half of the season 5 was really good, and I kind of wanted to see how the previous season that... Oh, I actually hadn't finished watching season 4. I had a couple episodes left, and I kind of wanted to see how that ended up, and just kind of got hooked back in and just started watching all of it, so... I'm happy I did, though, because it's definitely... I agreed with most people that it has picked up in the most recent season. Also, we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3. I'm actually behind on this. I got about halfway through Season 2. I thought it was getting pretty good. I just kind of fell off my radar. I'm planning on catching up, but... And I've heard that second half of the last season was pretty good, and... Hopefully this season is good as well. Agent Carter was renewed for season 2. It was going to be a miniseries, but or just a singular series, but people really liked it. So she's going to be coming back for season 2. So it's going to be another 10 episodes. So if you like Agent Carter, I guess you're in luck. Daredevil 2 is supposedly coming out sometime in the beginning or middle next year. I'm really looking forward to this. I loved the first season. I think that Charlie Cox as Daredevil was a great casting, and I think that Netflix did a great job with it, I think. And plus, he's going to have his costume now, and he's going to really be Daredevil, so I think we'll start getting more... it's going to have more of a superhero vibe.
Punisher.
Starting.
Punisher.
Oh, yeah, and Punisher is going to be in this as
Punisher.
Well.
I haven't seen Daredevil yet. I have heard nothing but rave reviews about it.
I do want to watch it. One of the shows that's definitely on my must-watch list. And yeah, I can't wait to see The Punisher done right. Although yeah, I didn't think the Thomas Jane John Travolta movie was terrible like most people did. I actually enjoyed that. I thought Thomas Jane did a pretty good job. But I think John Bernthal. Yeah, I think he looks quite a bit like what I imagine Frank Castle would look like. So I think he's well chosen. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be pretty awesome.
Oh, I also heard that maybe Jason Statham will play Bullseye.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that could be pretty cool, too.
Next, we have Gotham Season 2. A lot of people didn't really like the first season, or thought it kind of fell flat. I personally thought that it really picked up, really got its footing in the second half of the first season. It kind of focused more on the characters that people liked, more Bruce, more Detective Gordon, less Jada Pinkett Smith, and more of the Penguin. And I've seen the first, I believe, two episodes of the season, and if you liked the second half of last season, it definitely has kept that same vibe. I've definitely thoroughly enjoyed it. It's not on the top of my watch list, but I have been watching it every week. So if you are interested, I think that this is definitely one that you should watch.
I think the thing that show has going for it the most, other than the fact that it's Batman-related, is the guy that plays Gordon.
Ben McKenzie.
Yeah. He's just a really good actor.
Yeah, I think he does an amazing job as Jim Gordon. I think he really has the character down, and he definitely makes the show. If it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be watching.
Yeah, the way McKenzie portrays Gordon, it's very easy to relate to him, and you really root for him.
Yeah, definitely. I also think that the kid that they chose to play Bruce Wayne is actually really good. Considering most kid actors aren't greatest, I think he does actually a really good job playing the part.
And plus, there's no Fish Mooney anymore.
Exactly. That was the worst part of the first season, in my opinion. And now that she's gone, I think that the show will really start hitting a stride, and I think people will start really liking it if you didn't like it before. Next, we have Arrow Season 4. I've seen the first two episodes of this. I could definitely see how they're trying to make it more like The Flash. I'm not so sure if I like it so far. It's not really enough sample size for me to really make a good assessment of how I like it. I really liked the last season, even though it was kind of dark. I think that they've done really well with Dark and Arrow. But I think that they could be doing pretty good with it in the light, too, because of how well the Flash Season 1 did. So if you enjoy Arrow, I think definitely keep watching to find out.
How many episodes have come out for this
season? Two.
Oh, so you said you've only seen two. I thought maybe more had come out. But you've only seen two because only two. Is it still your favorite comic book show?
Right now, I think that the show that I want to see the most come out, each week is probably, The Flash, but previous season, I think Arrow was my favorite.
Just not sure if you're liking the new lighthearted feel, huh?
Well, I don't really know if I like, Damian Dark so far in the show, so, as the main bad, but we haven't really seen him face off against the Green Arrow yet, so.
So it just doesn't seem as compelling this season?
They haven't really made any, there hasn't been any real plot points that make me really, last season, this whole second half of the season, I just wanted to see the next episode. I wanted to see the next episode, and right now, I mean, I'd want to see the next episode, but there's nothing really pushing me to besides the fact that I like the show. There's not really any plot points that are really making me want to watch the next episode. The Flash Season 2 has also had two episodes come out. Now, I think this has been really good so far this season. They've had Jay Garrick introduced to the show, and I think that his character is actually going to be very interesting because he's now he was a speedster, but he now has he doesn't have his powers in this universe, so he's going to be kind of mentoring the Flash in this universe to kind of get to a point where he was in his previous universe. And I think that the writing in the show is just the best thing. I think that they're focusing a lot of their efforts on this show because I think that this is probably most people's favorite of the CW shows, at least.
Is Jay Garrick as a character, is he significantly older than Barry Allen?
I would say that Barry Allen is probably 25 in the show, and I think that Jay Garrick's probably 30, so he has probably 5 more years of experience as the Flash.
But it's not the same dynamic as the comics where Jay Garrick was, 20, 30 years older.
No, it's more of Jay Garrick came from Earth 2, and he was the Flash in Earth 2, and Barry Allen is just the Flash in Earth 1, and there's been, tears in the dimensions or whatever, and he slipped through, so.
So that's how they met in the comics the first time, too. It just, mm-hmm. for some reason, they made the age gap much smaller.
Yeah. I mean, just probably to make them more relatable, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just wanted the cast, maybe they just like the casting more.
Yeah.
iZombie has come out for its second season. I've heard that some people like this show. It's not really my cup of tea. I haven't watched any of it, and I don't really plan on it. It doesn't seem like anything that I'd really like that much, but if you like the comics, I guess check it out. Powers season 2. I've heard very little about the first season of this. It's a show that was really made by Sony and put on PlayStation, so not a lot of people have seen it. But the second season is coming out, so if you're interested, the rest of these shows are in active development, but don't really have exact release dates or have really even been confirmed for sure. But they're in development. There's a Red show in development. No talk about if Bruce Willis or any of them are going to be coming back. I doubt it, considering a TV since it's a TV series, and it would cost a lot to get Bruce Willis or any of the older castings from the movies, but I guess we'll have to see. We also have Protocol Orphans, which is a Boom Studio comic that is about a foster family who are trained up by the American authorities, becoming a team of government-sanctioned ass-kickers in the process. I don't know much about this, but it has Amanda Siegel, who has written and produced Person of Interest, Nikita, and Without a Trace, so it looks like it has a pretty big name on it. I haven't seen or heard much about it, so I guess we'll have to wait and see. Harrow County is one of Universal Cable's productions, Manifold, upcoming Dark Horse Comics adaptions. It's kind of just, I think it looks like it's going to be a horror show because the comic is about a person who lives in the woods, and out in the woods there are ghosts, goblins, and the restless dead. And on the 18th, on this girl's 18th birthday, she sees them all for the first time. So there's no word on the casting or when it'll be out, but keep your eyes peeled if that's something that you want to check out. Another show is the Umbrella Academy, created by Gerard Way and writer of The True Lies of Fabulous Killjoys, Gabriel Ba. It's another Dark Horse Comics property. It looks like 9 years after parting ways, the estranged members of the Umbrella Academy, a dysfunctional family of superheroes with bizarre powers, must figure out how to work together and to save the world. Bluegrass Films is attached to executive produce, but besides that, we don't really know anything else about it. And another show is called Backup. It's a Dark Horse Comics adaptation. It will be set in the near future, where our technology allows people to be backed up the same way we now back up our computers, but instead of protecting against drive failure, these backups protecting against death. It's a very interesting premise. I think that this could definitely be a cool show with this premise. I don't know much about the comics, but Jim Wida is attached to executive produce along with Brad Anderson, and Kenny Gold is set to write. So there are some names set to this. I guess
there have been there have been no comics released by Dark Horse under the title Backup. So we can only assume that this is something they plan on releasing books concurrently with the TV show.
Yeah.
Which definitely that might be interesting. I don't think I've really seen many books do something like that. So Concrete is another project from Dark Horse Comics. It's about a somebody's subconscious being transplanted into a hulking stone body, and how the guy copes with it. This is a very strange concept for a TV show. I don't think I would see this on network TV. I could see it as like probably a 4-6 episode miniseries on like Showtime or something. It might be cool. It might not be cool. It could be just really bizarre. But if it's something that you're interested in, I guess it's coming out for you. But we don't really know if it's animated or live yet. We don't have much information about it at all. Another book called El Pantera is based off of a comic book from the 1970s called El Pantera, and it's going to be helped out by The Walking Dead producer Gail Ann. It's a vigilante crime drama set in the fictional metropolis on the U.S.-Mexico border, so there's not any much more known besides that, but if you're interested, or if you read the old Mexican comics in the 70s, it's coming out. Another book, Kill Shakespeare, the IDW publishing, the IDW comic, will be optioned for, has been optioned for television treatment. It has the Bard's greatest heroes, Hamlet, Juliet, Othello, against the most menacing villains, Lady Macbeth, Iago, Richard III. So it could be cool. I think that if this is done right, it can be very cool. It's an interesting concept. I would like to see how they adapt it to TV. It'd be cool. I think that might be interesting. We also have RASL. It's a science fiction noir graphic novel from Jeff Smith, who is famed mostly for his famous Bone property. And Universal TV bought the rights to his comic, so... it's based off of an art thief who jumps parallel universes to steal famous paintings, and he has trouble with the government. So I can see that being kind of interesting. See somebody trying to steal like alternate universes, Mona Lisa's and stuff, but maybe have eyebrows on it because it's from an alternate universe, stuff like that. I don't know. I think it'd be cool though. We also have Preacher. It's kind of a rumor and it's not really a sure thing yet, but it's going to be an adaptation by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. It's based on Garth and Steven Dillon's comic of the same name, which saw Reverend Jesse Custer gain amazing powers and learn that God has bailed out on heaven and embark on a bit of a rampage to set things right. Could be cool. It says it'll be on AMC if it does come to fruition. So, kind of cool. An X-Men TV series. This is very much on the brink. It's kind of been talked about, but nobody's 100% confirmed it. I could find this... I think we could probably have to see X-Men Apocalypse or maybe the next movies to see if this will really come out, because maybe if they introduce some more minor characters who aren't as big and they could put them in a TV series... But I don't see them bringing back some of the bigger names for a TV series. So, who knows? Static Shock has been said to be in the works. It's a DC character. He controls electricity and it looks like Blue Ribbon content will be finding a home for it on, looks like, short episodes online, so definitely look forward to that. Most of the rest are just rumors. Young Justice, kind of just a rumor about maybe a live-action show based on the, well, kind of loosely based on the animated show, considering how much people like the animated show. People have talked about Teen Titans coming back, which wouldn't be surprising. People really like the original Teen Titans and are enjoying Teen Titans Go right now. Another show called DMZ from Vertigo. It's a very political comic. Imagine a second American Civil War in the near future. This would be what the show would be about. This is just talk. There's just talk about this coming to the screen. There hasn't really been much announced officially. Scalped. WGN American picked up the right to Scalped, which is a DC's Vertigo imprint. It's from DC's Vertigo imprint. And it's a crime-based noir on a Native American reservation, stuffed with organized crime, poverty, and addiction. We heard something about this a little while ago, but we haven't heard much since, so this is definitely a big question mark. And finally, we have Global Frequency, which was picked up by Fox in November of 2014, and they were making a pilot with the hopes of impressing the powers that be enough to get a full season off the ground. We haven't really heard much about it since. I doubt that it probably got greenlit because I'm sure the pilot has probably been done by now, but Fox could always go back to it if they felt like it was necessary, so I think that's about it. You can read more of this in the show notes. We'll have the link there. You can read more about these shows, because obviously I didn't go into a ton of detail with all of them, but if any of them you were thinking about checking out, you can check out more of the information in the show notes.
All right, so that's going to do it for us on this special episode, focusing on movies and comic book properties that are coming up both on the big screen and the small screen. Jane and I want to thank you for joining us. Next episode should be coming out talking about news from New York Comic Con. We also should have some Top Cow Chronology Project regular episodes coming out real soon. So if you want to contact us, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, and use the Contact Us link, or you can send us an email directly, thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Facebook, it's just do a search for The Comic Source, that's us, or Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource, to keep up to date on where we're going to be as far as comic conventions, and a lot of times I tweet about books that have just come out that I think are worth picking up and stuff like that. So once again, thanks for joining us, everybody, and don't hesitate to reach out to us with questions, comments, suggestions on movies, TV shows, or comics we might have missed.